Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Dan Bruder, the CEO of Fusion Dynamics Group, an international strategy and leadership consulting firm based in Colorado. He has an accomplished background in executive leadership, strategic planning, entrepreneurship, sales and marketing operations, brand development, customer service, and corporate finance. His book is called The Blendification System, Activating Potential by Connecting Culture, Strategy, and Execution. Mr. Bruder, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. Looking forward to it, Eric.
And I am as well, and I'm sure our audience will certainly gain a lot from listening to you and to what you have to say today. So for starters, how did you come up with the term blendification and write a book about it?
Well, several years ago, I was just playing with some terms, and I was asked to speak at a TED Talk at CU Boulder, and I was trying to figure out a topic that worked, and I really felt like the world was moving towards more combining things, working together, connecting, blended. We're living in a blended world, and there's several examples of that, whether it be blended with technology, work-life blending. But the word blending, connecting, obviously they're all used. And when I was looking at it, I thought blendification, now that's an action word. Blending is a word, but blendification really takes it, the putting ification at the end. To me, in my mind, it made it really feel like that's an action, something that we intentionally did. So what if we took this natural blending of life and then actually took it to another level and started intentionally blending things together so that we could achieve better outcomes? So this whole ification of the English language came from that. I did a TED Talk on it, and then, of course, my kids were ridiculing me for years as I started messing with the English language. So virtually everything we did became something related to ification, and then I followed that up with writing the book, Blendification. So it's been a lot of fun. But it really is meant to mean the active engagement or the active participation in blending together various different components of our life.
Well, the term certainly is catchy, and you certainly got the attention for sure with that, no doubt, and quite intriguing. Now, take it further. What is blendification?
Well, blendification, there's several different areas where we're experiencing a blended life, and a lot of that's happening naturally. We see generational blending. We see roughly three different generations living under one roof. We're seeing racial blendification going on right now. We're seeing work-life blendification, people working at home. All of these things are happening naturally. Some of this is accelerated by COVID and so forth. But what I really thought about is, you know, that stuff is happening naturally. What do we do inside a business to embrace this natural component of things coming together? And how do we build a business? So when I talk about blendification in the book, it's really about blending together culture, strategy, and execution. So typically we have a culture that we think about in a company. Maybe we have a vision statement or mission statement, something like that. Some companies go off and they'll do an annual strategy retreat, and then they come back and try to execute. We also look at some companies, they'll have, your sales meetings, your production meetings and things. And I thought, really, if we want to maximize our potential as a company, we need to blend culture, strategy, and execution together. That means that they need to be built together. So our culture needs to speak the same language as our strategy. When we have sales meetings, production meetings, our HR department, they're all speaking with the same language, and that's so effectively blending together our company. So culture, strategy, and execution aren't separate. They're all completely linked and aligned. So when I talk about blendification from a business perspective, it's really about blending together culture, strategy, and execution to maximize our potential. A lot of times we hear blendification, people go to work-life balance, work-life blending together. But the truth is that stuff's happening naturally. We don't need to do anything there. But how does our business take advantage of a blended world through our culture, strategy, and execution? And that's really what the book is about.
Well, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and I love how it all comes together. Blendification, you got to love it. Now, viewing capitalism as a social system that enhances the standard of living, what is business's role in positively impacting employees, customers, and communities? Talk to us about that.
Well, if I look at the reason why our country really put forth a market-based or capitalistic system, now clearly we're not a true capitalistic system, and nor do we want to be, but there are some components of our system that are really market-based that benefit what's going on overall with the society. So if we look at the reason, the motivation for a market-based system, it was really to create opportunities for our people to solve problems. So, and the problems come from society and customers. So when customers and society has problems, we look for business to actually solve those problems. And when the business solve these problems, they receive revenue, which hopefully turns into profit, but they also get something greater, and that is satisfaction and fulfillment and joy by satisfying and working with and helping people achieve their dreams. So if we look at the true motivation of capitalism or market-based system, it's really about creating a platform that benefits society. So that's from a macro, kind of a big wide-scale perspective. It's about building a better community or building a better society. So then we break it down and we look at the country as a whole or the world as a whole, and it's really there's several different communities, and within those communities, there's people at work. So if we look at our businesses or our companies or our workplace organizations, we look at them and say, how can these businesses better impact our employees? Because if we take care of our employees, they're going to look for better solutions for our customers. And then when we take and build better employees and better customers through our companies, then we actually have a positive impact on our communities. So that might be within a certain neighborhood. It might be within a certain city or a certain state or regionally, and we can take that all the way out the country and the world. But essentially what we're doing is taking business and using it as the tool to build better communities by building better employees and customers. And that is a form of blendification in and of itself. So if we look at what we're really trying to do here, is business is a microcosm. It's the vehicle or the tool to really execute on building a better society. And if we look at how much time we spend at work, Eric, we spend roughly 50% of our waking time in work or work-related activities. So for us to reach our potential, for me to reach my potential, I have to look at work as a way that I can help and pursue my dreams, help others and pursue my dreams by helping others. So we can't avoid the fact that business plays a critical role in laying the foundation for a better community through our employees and customers.
Some excellent information shared right there. Thanks for that. Good stuff today. We're joined by Mr. Dan Bruder, the CEO of Fusion Dynamics Group, an international strategy and leadership consulting firm based in Colorado. His book is called The Blendification System, Activating Potential by Connecting Culture, Strategy, and Execution. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Dan, how is pursuing potential more compelling than writing a traditional vision statement? Love to hear your take on that.
Well, I look back at the vision statements and mission statements, and I think the intent of vision statements and mission statements was well planned, well put together. And you know, we really have to go back to the 90s where they became really popular. But what has happened is the vision and mission statements over the course of the last 20-something years, it's really focused on being market dominant, winning at this, being best at that. And unfortunately, that's not the greatest motivation. What really motivates human beings is to make a difference in other people's lives. So I think the majority of vision and mission statements where they're talking about market dominance, number one, in a certain area, having the best of this, exceeding that, they're really not capturing what motivates employees and what motivates customers. So when we look at the traditional, the old school vision and mission statements, I don't think they're really connecting to the current generation of workers. And we look at the current generation of workers as the millennials, where I think most of the millennials that I talk to, when they hear company mission statement, they kind of roll their eyes. and they say, oh, here we go again, one of these antiquated 90s things about market dominance. You know, that's the kind of feeling I get. I look at it and say, why don't we develop a cause within a company? Really our cause, how are we going to impact our employees, customers, and community? And if we do this, now we have an opportunity to collectively as a company pursue and realize our potential. Now, I don't know what my potential or your potential or a company's potential is, but I do know that if we work together, we align our culture, strategy, and execution, we're all speaking the same language, we have a clear cause, we have something that's motivating, we have an intention for our employees, customers, and communities. If we have all of this outlined, we start adapting behaviors and habits that are consistent with this, I believe we can create something better than what we're creating right now, and that will actually lift up and grow our potential. Now, again, potential is this ambiguous word, but if we really think about it, I think if we all were honest with ourselves, we could say we could do more for our communities. Our potential is greater than where we stand right now. And if we spent the time to really identify what our potential is and really document these things, we would have a better opportunity at pursuing them and then bringing others with us and then solving not only our problems or our issues, but our community issues as well.
Another question for you, Dan. I've heard of cognitive intelligence and even emotional intelligence, but what is system intelligence?
Yeah, again, this is another form of blendification. And what we talk about is the various different forms of leadership intelligence. So, you know, if we're really going to lead people, and I'm not talking leadership from a CEO perspective, I'm just talking about leading people by impacting those that are around us. And we're all leaders of something and other people. So, and if we look at the progression of leadership, we always, when we're kids, we start off with cognitive intelligence. We get grades on tests and everybody's focused on that. And then later on, we learned that, boy, the smart people aren't always the ones that are the most successful. And we learned about this thing called emotional intelligence. And this came out around the 90s, Daniel Goleman talking about emotional intelligence and how do we actually relate to other people. And I think that's an important component of intelligence. But if we really want to reach our potential as a leader, we have to have cognitive intelligence, you know, having some level of book smart. We also have to be emotionally intelligent, but this thing called system intelligence, which we don't hear much about, that's the ability to look at how not only my actions, but the actions of those around us, how are they impacting everyone around us? So if I have a meeting with somebody at 9 o'clock in the morning in my business or a Zoom meeting or something like that, not only am I going to motivate them to do something or potentially demotivate them to do something, there's a form of emotional intelligence in that. I also realize that they're going to go talk to other people. They have, sometimes they have spouses, sometimes they have children. So there's this system-wide impact that my conversations with this person is not only impacting that person, it's also having a system-based impact. So there's a greater impact than just me and the person I'm talking to. Also within a company, we look at various different departments. We might have marketing and sales, and we all know the stories of marketing and sales goes, our customers need this. And the product people go, oh, no, here we go again. You know, sales is telling us what to do. They don't know what's going on. And then your operations team doesn't have any idea how to build this. But if we build a company correctly using system intelligence, not just our internal smarts, not just emotional intelligence, but layering in this top level of system intelligence, when we do a product development or product launch or even starting a new company, we're going to look at the customer and market. We're going to find out what they want. We're then going to find out what product fits the customer and market's needs. And then we're going to determine how we actually build, develop this product from an operational perspective. But then we're also going to look at what's our culture? How are our people going to work together? So if we really want to do well, we need to be looking at all four of those areas. Any one conversation within an organization is probably going to affect our customer and market, our product, our operations, and our people. We need to be cognizant and we need to embrace this level of system intelligence that exists, most people stop at emotional intelligence. And I just wanted to add this top layer that says we need to gravitate to a more system intelligent leadership style that incorporates emotional and cognitive intelligence. And cognitive intelligence is nothing more than what we talk about as IQ, right? So to me, all three of those make the best leader. We can't just do well at one. We need to really embrace all three.
And most helpful there, clarifying the differences between the three on cognitive intelligence, emotional intelligence, and system intelligence. Also, I would be curious, what is the strategy whiteboard and how does it become the tool for companies to activate potential?
Well, you know, several years ago, I was thinking that we really don't have a good, solid strategic planning tool or platform for businesses. And I started teaching at Colorado State University. And from an academic perspective, we were teaching theory, but I was also running a strategic planning practice. And quite frankly, we would always start out with a blank sheet of paper. And I thought we weren't really embracing what we could do in terms of a strategic planning platform. So then when I started talking about blendification and building this concept out, I knew that we could do something better as a group of people or an organization. I didn't know how to do it, but I knew intuitively that there was a better way to do this. And I couldn't convince myself and therefore others until I actually built out a system to do this. And that's where the strategy whiteboard came in. So it's one thing for me to say, yeah, blendification, connect culture, strategy, and execution, you should do this. And then you might ask me the question, so how? And I'm like, no, just go do it. But I really needed to have a platform that did this. So that's where I created the strategy whiteboard. And the whiteboard means that we essentially build a strategy, but we have to have some agility in there. The whiteboard portion is that we can actually erase some of this because we might get it wrong. Or let's just say a worldwide pandemic hits. We don't want to throw everything out. We just want to erase a few things and then adapt those. But the strategy whiteboard is really a 10-piece component that builds up the company one block at a time. We look at a strategic analysis component. We analyze what's going on in the markets. We analyze what's going on externally in the future. Then we look inside the business and say, hey, how are we prepared for this future? And then we start looking at this and go, how do we develop strategy around this? And then how do we, once we develop strategy, how do we execute on the strategy? So we put all these things together. And the strategy whiteboard is a step-by-step, almost like a checklist process to build blendification within an organization so that that organization has a better opportunity to enhance the lives of its employees, customers, and community. You know, if we sat here and said, wait, I think you should do this, but I didn't have a real systematic process to do it, then why would you listen to me, right? So to me, it was really about building this process. So I used the strategy whiteboard in my practice in order to create a blended company. And I also used it in my teaching at Colorado State, as well as the University of Colorado at Boulder. So it's really a platform that we use to actually say, this is what we do, step one, step two, step three. And when you get through all this, you now have the ability to create this blended organization.
Mr. Bruder, really some great information shared here today on the program. Really appreciate your joining us and for the time spent so far. Just a couple more questions before we conclude. Another one would be, how is it possible to intentionally connect culture, strategy, and execution in business? A great example of blendification, if you will.
Well, the intention side becomes with definition. First, we have to define what our culture is. And when I say culture is really everything in an organization. So we define what our culture is. And then at the foundation of culture is habits. So we're actually defining what our habits are. What types of habits do we want to see? So the intentional side is defining it and then building an operating system or an operating model around that. So if we define our culture, then we build a strategy, intentionally build a strategy that takes advantage of the future. And then we build within that an execution model. When I say execution model, I'm talking about how do we meet? What do we say in our meetings? How are our meetings run? When we're talking about things, are we talking about strategically significant things that are allowing us to build a better culture to pursue something better in our lives? So it's really putting all these things together and being intentional about it, meaning that we actually define it, we develop it, we focus on it, we talk about it, and it constantly is worked within an organization. And that's the intentionality around this, rather than saying, yeah, we have a culture, yeah, we do strategy, and or we do meetings. It's really about being intentional about connecting all these and using it as from a systematic perspective, system being something that they're all connected and they all rely on each other, and being intentional about it. It's the actual process of saying, let's physically focus on this.
Lastly, and I think you'll like this and appreciate this, does culture eat strategy for breakfast?
Oh, gosh, I hear that all the time. I used to say that, but what I really think is that the truth is that strategy, culture, and execution make a really nice meal. I mean, if we want to look at, when we talk about eating, we don't talk about just eating one food. It's really about having several things. And in order for us to be nourished, well-balanced, to reach our physical potential and even our psychological and mental potential, we need to have a well-balanced meal. So I don't think culture eats strategy for breakfast, and I don't think strategy eats culture for lunch. I think they all, culture, strategy, and execution, they all make a great meal. And for us to really realize our potential, we have to look at each one of them that way, that they're all connected, and together they're better.
Mr. Bruder, really appreciate you making the effort to write the book, The Blendification System, and I'm sure listeners want to know how they can tap into that resource, not only to get more information and more information on yourself, but on the book. Where's the best place online to do so?
Well, the easiest place to get the book is Amazon. Just put in Amazon and search on Blendification. You'll see my book. No one uses that word. You can go to my website, which is blendificationsystem.com. You can also link there to get my book, but you can also get on my website access to a whole free video learning series that really summarizes the book. Also several different PDFs to help people run meetings, to help people do things, all of which is in the book, but I also have access to larger supporting materials on my website. You can also go through that if you say, hey, the book is great, I want more. We can also work on a completely online version of blendification, culture, strategy, and execution in your organization, or you can hire a face-to-face consultant too. So there's various different ways that you can really build blendification in your company, and it all starts out with going to my website, or just real simply just going to Amazon and typing in blendification, and you'll find the book.
Certainly a truckload of resources. Again, Mr. Bruder, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Eric.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Dan Bruder, the CEO of Fusion Dynamics Group, an international strategy and leadership consulting firm based in Colorado. His book, again, is called The Blendification System, Activating Potential by Connecting Culture, Strategy, and Execution. And for all the details, visit blendificationsystem.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.